Let's get to the United States. Ron Elving is senior editor and correspondent, Washington desk for NPR News. Ron, welcome.
Good to be with you, Catherine.
All right, let's talk about how Congress is tracking. Of course, it's the presidential election. That's only going to ramp up from here. But it's been a problematic Congress. It's back now, and how are things going?
Not well yet. We don't know whether or not Speaker Mike Johnson has the votes to pass the controversial aid bill for Ukraine and Israel and also some of our Pacific allies. Now, this has been hanging fire for months and months. Ukraine is in desperate need of military equipment we could supply. Obviously, Israel is heavily dependent on the U.S. for military equipment as they go through their Gaza war, which has just passed the six-month mark today. And so this is a fraught moment. And if Speaker Johnson, with his power, brings this bill to the floor, it will pass, but it will pass with Democratic votes as well as Republican votes. And that will anger the hardcore within Mike Johnson's Republican caucus, which does not want this aid to pass and which does not want Ukraine yoked with Israel. And so they might remove Mike Johnson as Speaker, because they can do that, even as a minority within the party that is the majority party, even though there's really only 20 perhaps of them at most. If they withhold their support for his speakership, he cannot remain as Speaker. That's how narrow the gap is between the majority and minority parties. So that's complicated, but that's where we are hanging right now. And there is already a motion to have him removed as Speaker. And if he puts this bill on the floor to win with Democratic votes, which he might, there will be an effort in all likelihood to remove him as Speaker. He would be the second Speaker removed in just a matter of months. And we have never had this happen in the United States in all of our history before.
What do you think the odds are of that happening?
I think they're about 50-50 at this point, because the amount of attention that's been paid to a few egregious characters within that Republican minority. And there's one in particular who's a woman from Georgia named Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has really become the face of the House Republican Party. And there are a couple of others who also like to be on television. And they have also become as prominent, really, as spokespersons for the House Republican majority as Speaker Johnson, who is, after all, a very new face on the scene and is confronted really here with a unique set of circumstances. Obviously, this aid is crucially important to the countries involved, and it just isn't possible to move this small cadre of votes without risking his job. So I suspect he will take the chance, and we'll see what happens next.
Okay, now we just heard in the news at the top of the hour further developments, pressure coming on Republican nominee Donald Trump to take a new position and a quite extreme position on abortion. Where is this pressure coming from?
Donald Trump came out today having told a number of his associates in private that he thinks the abortion issue, that is to say the great difficulty that's been imposed on people seeking an abortion in this country by the Supreme Court appointed by Donald Trump, that group took away the protections for abortion we've had for 50 years. And they did that a couple of years ago. And since then, a great number of states, almost half the states, have passed near total abortion bans. Well, that puts Donald Trump in a tough position, because Republicans, the majority of Republicans, seem to want to impose a national ban on abortion in all cases. And now he doesn't think that's a political winner. He would rather be somewhere in the middle. But he is dependent on and has been elected by abortion, anti-abortion hardliners. So here again, it's a conflict between the conservative Republicans and the ultra-conservative Republicans. It's a kind of political bind that we've seen in other countries as well. And here, Donald Trump announced today that it should just be left to the states. Just let the states decide whether or not to have abortion within that state. That's not satisfactory to the anti-abortion forces that put him where he is. They're very upset with him. And at the same time, people who would like to roll back those bans in the states where they exist are equally incensed. So there's really nowhere to stand here if you want to have it both ways.
How significant is this pressure, or is he in a position currently with the overall support within the party for his presumed nomination that he doesn't need to go any further than he has?
That's what he thinks. He believes that he is in a position, as he said today, I'm the person responsible for getting rid of the decision of the Supreme Court from 50 years ago, the Roe versus Wade decision. He takes responsibility for that, and well, he should, because he appointed half of the judges who voted that way. Personally, he appointed them. So this is his legacy. He was responsible for the reversal of 50 years of policy nationwide on abortion, and that has left him with the chaos of 50 states going their own way. And he either has to decide to impose a national ban and please the anti-abortion side, or he has to back off his previous position, or he has to throw up his hands and say, let's let the states decide, which doesn't make anyone really happy because both sides feel that there are too many states that are going the way they don't like.
The calculation also is where he sits vis-a-vis Joe Biden in the head-to-head, because there's a risk for the Republicans that too stringent a move on abortion will see many Republicans, frankly, wanting to protect their rights, holding their noses and voting Democrat or not voting, right? There's a bigger picture
here. Just not voting. It's hard to imagine, given the polarization in our politics right now, that anyone who's unhappy with Joe Biden is going to vote for Joe Biden. But they have other options. There is a third party candidate. That's another discussion. There are other people. There are smaller parties that are out there. You can still vote, or you can stay home. And that has been an option many Americans, of course, have used over the years. That's the option many Americans have chosen rather consistently. We have something like a third of our people who just never vote, not even in the most important presidential elections. So if some people who feel dissatisfied with Trump and Biden just decide to stay home, that could have quite a large thumb on the scale effect. Now, at the same time, I mean, Trump really needs all his people to turn out, and he also needs to reach out to people who perhaps preferred Nikki Haley in the primaries, and to independents who, as you suggest, are more ambivalent about abortion than the hardliners are by a good stretch.
Now, speaking of the incumbent, President Biden, what's his student debt relief program, please?
This is essentially a redo because he tried to do this some while back early in his presidency, and the Supreme Court said no. That was not something the president could do by himself. He needed the approval of Congress. Well, right now, with the Republicans in control of the House, President Biden's not going to get their approval for anything. So he is taking another attack and trying to accomplish this forgiveness of student debt. And there's a great deal of it, of course, because college has gotten astonishingly expensive in this country. And if any middle-class student or somebody from a more disadvantaged family wants to go to college, they need to have both scholarship aid, if they can get it, but big loans. And they're carrying huge loans, some of them into six figures, $100,000 loans to go to college. And the Biden administration, Democrats in general, have been trying to get them some relief for that. But the law that they did it under initially was struck down by the Supreme Court that said he needed congressional approval to do it that way. So now they're trying to do it under a different act, under the Higher Education Act, which gives the president a little bit more leeway. And we'll see what the Supreme Court thinks of that.
Just finally, coming back to, again, the presumed nominee, Donald Trump, there are some reports saying Ukraine should just give up Crimea and Donbass to make a deal. Can you just explain the context for these comments?
Well, Crimea is a part of Ukraine that the Russians have already essentially seized 10 years ago. And that is an entirely different kettle of fish from the war that's going on right now, although there has been some fighting in the Black Sea. The most contested region of Ukraine is the part that borders on Russia. It's the eastern portion, and it's known as the Donbas, which is to say it's the basin of the Don River. And it is an industrialized area. It is an extremely rich area, both agriculturally and in terms of industry. And it is the prize, really, of this war that's been going on. And Trump has said from the beginning that Putin was smart, quote unquote, to attack that part of Ukraine, and also to try to feature the number of people in that area who still speak Russian, who still have ties in the Russian area. And he's been praising Putin for that strategy from the beginning. Now he's come right out and said, we should just give it to him. We should just tell Putin he can have that most valuable part of Ukraine and use that to buy peace. Because after that, Trump is apparently assuming, Putin will be satisfied, and that'll be the last aggressive action he will take. That is not the historical experience for people who remember World War II, but that is what Trump is maintaining today.
When are we at the next key dates, Ron, finally, in the run-up to the November election? What are the next key dates?
Next key dates are in July, when the Republicans meet in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is a big state, it's the largest city in a state that is considered absolutely crucial and a swing state. It's gone for Trump and against Trump. And then the Democrats will be meeting a month later to nominate Biden in Chicago. Everybody knows where Chicago is. And that's the lineup for the summer. But I think most of the attention between now and then is going to be on the legal cases. It's going to be on Donald Trump's trials, the first of which could actually begin a week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow in New York, he's, of course, making one last ditch attempt to get it moved out of New York and disqualify the judge and so forth. But if those motions aren't successful, and so far today, they have not been successful and the appeals process is not looking friendly for him. If they are not successful, he will be on trial in court a week from tomorrow on what would be Tuesday for us. I guess that'll be Wednesday for you.
Thank you very much, Ron Elving, who is with NPR. He's senior editor and correspondent, Washington Desk.